and the power to submit to you and obey your word, and also to submit to those whom you have placed in authority over us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Please take your Bible and turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. It's on page 979 of the Pew Bible. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Congregation, at this time, please give your attention to the inspired and inerrant Word of God. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you, and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. May God bless the reading of His holy word. Now please take your blue Psalter hymnal and turn to page 52 in the back of that book. So this evening we'll confess God's word as it is summarized for us in Lord's Day 39 of the Heidelberg Catechism. I'll read the question and together we'll respond with the answer. It's Lord's Day 39 on page 52 in the back of the blue book. Congregation, what is God's will for us in the fifth commandment? That I honor, love, and be loyal to my father and mother, and all those in authority over me. That I obey and submit to them, as is proper, when they correct and punish me. And also that I be patient with their failings, for through them God chooses to rule us. Beloved congregation in our Lord Jesus Christ, today in our catechism series, we come to the fifth commandment, which, as you all know, tells us to honor your father and your mother. However, as we have just seen in our catechism reading, this commandment has to do with a lot more than just the relationship between children and parents. It has to do with every relationship of authority, including parent to child, teacher to student, boss to employee, and police officer to citizen. And there are many other relationships as well in which Scripture makes it clear we are called to be obedient, to be submissive. Now, if you consider our society as a whole, people do not really like this idea. Many think words like authority and submission are dirty words. The idea is you don't get to tell me what to do. We live in a society that in some ways romanticizes anarchy and rebellion. But of course there's a huge problem with this. Without authority, a society in this sinful world will cease to be able to function. Throughout the book of Judges and Scripture, Israel keeps getting into trouble as a nation, and we read the constant refrain over and over again. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Without authority, without accountability, this is what sinners will do. They will do whatever seems right in their own eyes. However, not every reason that people tend to dislike authority is a bad one. One reason many people don't like the idea of authority is because it is often abused. How easily people take advantage of their position and power, using them to exploit others. But Scripture has the solution to this. The Bible makes it clear that there are rules not only for those who are under authority, but also for those who possess authority. No one is a law unto himself, and everyone is accountable to God. And so since God's requirements go both ways, we all need to turn to Scripture for instruction in these things. Children need to understand what it means to honor and submit to their parents. Parents need to know how they should use their authority over their children. Workers need to know how to interact with the boss, and bosses need to know how to biblically exercise authority over their workers. It's a two-way road. God has expectations for us all, both those in authority and those under authority. And so in our sermon this evening, we'll have two parts. First, we'll consider how we ought to submit to authority, and second, how to exercise authority. So first, what does it mean to submit to authority? Well, let's start by thinking about the problem. Part of the effect of sin is a rebellious spirit, a rebellious attitude. And from a very young age, we see this in our children. Sometimes it seems that even before they're able to talk, they already know exactly how to disobey. Past generations recognize that this rebellious spirit was a problem, and the home was viewed often as a place for sanctification, for learning that you need to be respectful. You need to say please and thank you, and never talk back to your elders. Sadly, it seems that this understanding has been lost somewhere along the way. It became popular to embrace the idea known as permissive parenting, where you basically just let your children do whatever they want, follow their heart, so to speak. And today we see the results of this permissive parenting. These children have never grown up. I actually read on a secular parenting website that because there are few rules, expectations, and demands, children raised by permissive parents tend to struggle with self-regulation and self-control. Imagine that. Of course they struggle with these things. They've learned to follow their sinful nature. They've never been taught that they need to do otherwise. And so they carry with them all their lives the same rebellious spirit we see in our toddlers. And because many children have been raised in this way, we're not too surprised when in the grocery store we see a teenager talking back to his mother, or in the break room when you hear a fellow employee badmouthing the boss. We've grown used to seeing people carry this sinful rebellion with them all their lives. But of course, this is not a good thing. As Christians, we need to stand out as light in this dark and sinful world. And so with that, we turn to our scripture text, which is very, very clear. It says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." Now, the first thing we should notice here in our text is that Paul is addressing the children in the congregation. Children are a part of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were intended to hear the letter which the Apostle Paul wrote to the Ephesian church. They're not off doing their own thing with their own people their own age. They're gathered with the whole church together as this letter is being read. But I also want us to think carefully about what this verse means. It says, "Obey your parents in the Lord." What does "in the Lord" mean? This does not mean that you only have to obey your parents if they are Christian parents. Rather, it means that because you are a Christian, you need to obey your parents, so long as what they tell you to do does not conflict with God's word. Boys and girls, because you're Christian children, because you are in the Lord, you must be different from the world. But that's not all we read here. This verse also says, "For this is right." Why should I obey my mother and my father? Because it is right. Because this is the way that God intended it to be. Now, if we're not careful, then we could just gloss over this verse and miss the point that Paul is making here. Congregation, the meaning of this verse needs to be plain as day to us. Why? Because we're so very good at making excuses as to why we shouldn't have to obey the authorities over us. Boys and girls, how many times have you said to yourself, "I'm not going to obey my mother because she spoke harshly to me when she told me to do that." Or, "I'm not going to listen to my dad because he doesn't really care about me. He never spends time with me. He's always so busy." Perhaps even some of us adults make excuses like this. "I don't care what my boss says. He's just out to get me anyway." Or, "I don't need to be careful about what I say of that elected official. He's a Democrat." How often have you made an excuse to not obey? How often have you made an excuse to not show a person honor and respect because you don't like them or because you don't like the way that they treated you. But here's the problem with that. The Word of God leaves us with no room for these excuses. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Why? For this is right. You don't obey your parents because they're such perfect parents or because they give you everything that you want. You don't even obey them because they're so much wiser and they know so much more than you do, even though that's true. That's not the reason why you obey them. No, boys and girls, none of those are the reasons for why you must obey mom and dad. Children must obey and honor their parents. Students must obey and honor their teachers. Workers must obey and honor their boss. And why? Because this is right. See, it's not about the person. It's not about the things that they do well or that they do poorly. Rather, it's about the office that God has given to them in His providence. He has put them in authority over you. This is especially clear in Romans 13, which says, let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. And those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. The Bible makes it clear we need to obey our authorities even when we don't feel like it, even when we don't like the person in power. In Colossians 3:20, Paul writes to children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. And obedience in everything also implies obedience at every time, even when you're not very happy with them. So we must submit to authority not only when we feel like it, but also when we don't. Even when we're frustrated, angry, when we feel like we've been treated unjustly, we must obey our authorities because God has set them up as authorities in our lives. And in fact, this means that when we obey them, we're obeying God as well. As our catechism says, we need to be patient with their failings, because through them, God chooses to rule us. So obedience is the starting point. Jesus says, if you love me, you will obey my commandments. The same is true with our parents. If we love them, if we love God, then we will obey our parents. However, mere obedience, merely doing what they say, is not enough. The commandment says what? It says, honor your father and your mother. The Catechism explains that in this commandment, God expects that we honor, love, and be loyal to father and mother and all those in authority over us. Boys and girls, teenagers, are you fulfilling this commandment to honor your father and mother? Are you fulfilling it if you obey your mother when she asks you to do the dishes? But as you do so, as you're washing them, you spend the whole time muttering under your breath about how unfair this all is. No, that's not honoring your mother. Are you fulfilling this commandment if you obey the curfew that your father set, all the while complaining to your friends about how strict your father is? No, that's not honoring your father. To honor your parents and our other authorities goes much deeper than mere outward obedience. If we really love our parents, we will obey them, but we will not be satisfied with mere obedience. We must also pray that God will give us a heart of love for our parents so that we will want to please them wholeheartedly, not just outwardly. And of course, that applies not only to parents, but to all who are in authority over us. We do well, congregation, to remember that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell therein. We belong to God both by creation and salvation, and He has a right to rule us by our governing authorities, which He's providentially placed in our lives. And in fact, when we obey them, we're also obeying and honoring God Himself. So yes, submit to and honor your father and mother, your boss, your elders, your elected officials, and above all, submit to and honor the Lord our God. But as we consider this commandment, we must not only think about what it means to be submissive, we must also think about what is proper when we exercise authority. Turning again to our scripture text, we read in verse 4, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." Parents have an obligation, a responsibility to their children. We must teach our children to be obedient, but we must do so in the right way, in a godly and loving way. Proverbs 22, verse 6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it." Now, how do we do this? How do we train our children? Well, in our scripture reading earlier this evening, we read about the importance of discipline. We read that God, as our Father in heaven, He disciplines us, and He does this because He loves us. We are His children. We read also that, for the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Training in righteousness is necessary. Righteousness does not come naturally to sinners. The opposite does. Righteousness is something that must be taught. And the book of Proverbs says over and over again that discipline is an important part of training children up. It's an important part of parenting. Proverbs 23, verses 13 and 14 say, "Do not withhold discipline from a child. If you strike him with a rod, he will not die. If you strike him with a rod, you will save his soul from Sheol." Proverbs 13, 24 says, "Whoever spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is diligent to discipline him." And Proverbs 22, verse 15 says, "Folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline drives it far from him." And so over and over again, the book of Proverbs exalts the use of discipline in the family. It's a very important tool in training our children in the way of righteousness. But as we exercise discipline, we need to be careful not to abuse it. Don't ever spank your children in anger or when you're out of control. Proper discipline must always be self-controlled. And we also need to be careful not to overuse corporal discipline. We read in verse 4 that fathers must not provoke their children to anger. A parallel passage, Colossians 3, 21 says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children lest they become discouraged." See, brothers, we do not want our children to become discouraged. We want to train them in righteousness. There are many parents who do not discipline their children enough, but there are also some parents who take their parenting to the opposite extreme. They may be obsessively overprotective of their children, trying to control and govern all of their actions completely and utterly, never giving them any freedom at all. Their children feel stifled, like they aren't allowed to do anything. Our parenting shouldn't be like that. We've probably also gotten off track if our parents see us only as disciplinarians, as nothing more than that. If all we do is say to them, "Don't do this, do that," we're not fulfilling God's expectations for us in our parenting. It should never be that 100% of our time with our children is simply laying down the law. As parents, part of our job is to enjoy our children, to spend time with them, and especially to make sure that they know how much we love them. A good example to follow in our parenting, in our training them in the way of righteousness, is that of our Father in heaven. Look at His Word. It's not only and exclusively law. In fact, even the law itself always carries with it the comfort and the assurance of the gospel. And so we need to be careful to remember that parenting and other relationships of authority are not only about discipline. It's not only about telling our children or our employees how bad of a job they are doing. Certainly our relationship with our Father in heaven is not that way. He wants us to enjoy Him and love Him as well as respect Him. And so while it is important that we discipline our children, we must also make sure that they know how much we love them and to know that we forgive them. Well, as we bring our sermon to a close this evening, notice how our text points out that this fifth commandment is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Certainly, there is an earthly component to this, even in our experience, even in the New Testament. For example, when you obey your parents who tell you not to play out in the middle of the street, surely this will contribute to it going well with you and you living long in the land. When you obey your parents who tell you to keep your hands off the hot stove, this too will contribute to it going well with you and you living long in the land. And when you obey your boss who tells you to finish the project by the end of the week, this will contribute to it going well with you and you living long in the land and keeping your job as well. So yes, there is an earthly component to this promise where this commandment is honored and kept as much as we can. We do enjoy peace and happiness. However, there is more to this promise. Ultimately, this promise does not only have to do with what happens when we keep this commandment, but also what happened when Christ, our Lord, kept this commandment in our place. See, congregation, none of us have kept this commandment perfectly. We all have a hint of a rebellious spirit still left in us with the remnants of sin that still cling to us. We have all fallen short of God's glory, of what God expects of us in this fifth commandment. But Christ did not fall short. Christ lived up to his Father's expectations. He was always and only perfectly obedient to his parents. This was true of his relationship to his earthly parents. Luke 2:51 says that Jesus went down with them to Nazareth and was submissive to them. Jesus was also always perfectly obedient to his heavenly Father. And in fact, by his perfect obedience, that is how Christ has won salvation for us. Consider the words of the Apostle Paul in Philippians 2. There Paul urges us to follow the example of Jesus in his submission. He also talks about how Jesus earned salvation for us in this way. He writes, "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. By that cross, our Lord Jesus Christ earned our salvation. He paid for all of our sins. By his perfect obedience and his atoning death, he earned for us the right to enter the heavenly promised land of God that the Lord, our God, is giving us. And now Jesus exercises loving authority over us, his people, as the King of kings and Lord of lords. Paul goes on in Philippians 2, writing, "Therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." By his obedience, our Lord Jesus Christ won salvation for us. In keeping the fifth commandment perfectly, he earned forgiveness for all of the times that we have broken that commandment. And now he exercises loving authority over us as our Savior, watching over us, caring for us as our Shepherd King. And so, congregation, as we seek, by God's grace, to cultivate in our homes as Christian homes, as we sang in the song before the sermon, let us strive to live in light of the gospel, of the good news of forgiveness in Jesus Christ. Children, let's forgive our parents when they fail us, when they make mistakes. Let us love them and also obey them unconditionally, because this is right. And parents, let's forgive our children when they fall short of our expectations. and faithfully discipline them with genuine, heartfelt love and not in anger. Indeed, by God's grace, may the love of Christ reign in each and every one of our households and all our relationships in our lives. Amen. Let us pray. Our glorious Father in heaven, we thank you for the instruction of your word, and we thank you also for promising to give us the power to obey it. Please do so by giving us your Holy Spirit to lead us in the truth and in obedience before you and before the authorities you have placed in our lives. Help us to learn how to submit graciously. Help us also to love one another with heartfelt affection, even when we are being disciplined or must deal out discipline. Guard us from anger and resentment, and help us to believe the best of one another, remembering that you have placed the authorities in our life for a reason, and we have an opportunity to honor you and show our thankfulness and love for you through our obedience to them. Keep us safe throughout our week, and please bring us back next Lord's Day so that once again we may hear your word proclaimed as we worship you together with your people. We pray all these things in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Congregation, at this time, let's respond to God's word by turning in our blue psalter hymnal to number 150. Let children hear the mighty deeds. Let's stand to sing number 150.